Gentlemen, why don't you introduce yourselves?
I'm Eric Gemma. I'm leading Goose through the code effort.
I'm sorry, I cut you off there. Eric Gama and?
And I'm Shankar Nyogi. I'm on the Visual Studio Code team.
Awesome. So you need no introduction, right? You wrote books that I had to read in college, man.
I'm sorry for that.
So
my Senate joke, you don't have to read, you just have to buy them.
Oh, that's right, that's right. So buy the book, Gang of Four. You're one of the original Gang of Four. Do you guys have like a gang sign or anything, or just?
Just some chains.
And just some chains that you, of course,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, yeah.
So there,
it's a Swiss gang.
Isn't it a Swiss? You're from
No. We're international.
That's true.
Oh, you're an international Swiss gang. Okay, got it. Okay. So Visual Studio Code, there was a pretty big announcement about that today. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, it was two things, right? We announced that it's open source. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we announced that it's extensible, which mm-hmm. means you can not only contribute code changes, you can also contribute extensions and publish them to the gallery.
Awesome. So what was the decision process around this whole, obviously extensions was something that was needed, but open sourcing is quite a different thing.
Yes and no, right? So extensions, we had user voice, and we had 7,000 votes for that. That was easy. Open source also had 3,000 or 4,000. And strategic wise?
Yeah, I think it's when we look at people using dev tools nowadays, right, people are using a lot of different dev tools, and the first thing they tell us is they want a set of things in there, but they really want to be able to customize it the way they want. And extensions are obviously a big part of that, but I think the thing we're trying to do with open sourcing, I think we decided from pretty early on that at some point when we were kind of ready, we would open source the thing. And a big part of that was kind of doing our development out in the open with all of our developer customers, but also kind of giving them the ability to really kind of customize and play with the code base and really kind of grow the product that way, rather than just us build a product and kind of give it to people to use.
No joke, about 2 weeks ago, I sat with a developer. If you're watching, Sam, this is for you. he said to me, Seth, he's a Node developer on a Mac, no Windows anything, everything is Bower Grunt, all that other good stuff. He said to me, Seth, I would use Visual Studio Code if it had extensions and was open source.
I hope you immediately contacted him, right?
I'm just saying, man.
We hear that a lot.
We kind of just already did both of those things. So the cool thing about Visual Studio Code is that the reach is just tremendously larger, given that it works on all sort of Linux and Mac and Windows. But most people might not know about how it's built, because it's an interesting project. You look at it and you're like, oh, it's a Windows app, or but what is it under the shell?
What's inside?
Yeah.
So inside at the stand of other open source projects. Uh-huh. So Electron is a shell from GitHub that gives you the Chromium, the web-based APIs, mm-hmm. plus the Node APIs to program your application. And we build on that, and web technology gives us portability, and Electron, the layer, the shell, is also portable, so this enables us cross-platform. So if you go one layer up, then a big chunk of our work is the editor, right, that people have seen in other products like OneDrive, Azure websites. And if you look inside how we implement it, it's all implemented in TypeScript, right? So it's about 300,000 lines of TypeScript application. But interestingly, it's not a single process. We are not shy to use multiple processes to implement it, right? That's a little bit of departure from traditional IDEs, which are mostly single shell, single process. We kind of open it up because multi-process is a good thing, not only architecture-wise, but also for the operating system and for your computer.
That's really interesting. So the thing, I mean, I know you said TypeScript, but in the end, it's JavaScript.
Sure.
It's like a web application inside of Electron when you get down to it, right?
Correct.
That's remarkable. When someone said JavaScript, all the things, surely they didn't mean editors, but it looks like it works really well. I love it. It's one of my favorite editors.
Yeah, I think the using web technologies to build the editor this way kind of makes it possible for us to like very easily iterate on the thing. And at the same time, as Eric was saying, the architecture that we built means that lots of parts of the tool, lots of the value that we have in the tool, aren't actually in the editor itself. They're integrated through this process model. And so what we can do is we can actually take tooling that's built in any technology on any platform and integrate it in a way that kind of feels like it's part of the tool. So, you know, when we look at the .NET tooling that you saw, that was actually built in .NET. It's built on top of Roslyn. It's built on top of our same debug technology that we have in Visual Studio, but we've integrated that with VS Code. Our Node tooling is built on JavaScript, and it includes all of our TypeScript tooling, which is written in TypeScript itself. Right. The Go tooling that we showed earlier, you know, that was done by the Go ecosystem. The Go community basically built a great set of command line tools in Go. And what we did was, with a couple of hundred lines of code, we were able to integrate that into a really nice, clean experience inside Visual Studio Code.
So do the language intelligence using the language you prefer, right? That's the model. And I think also the departure from traditional ID design, right, where you had kind of a single language, everything has to be in one language. So we give you this flexibility now.
That's really interesting, because I saw, like, when you were debugging Go, like, you went in, I saw, and I don't know if I saw this right, but I saw something that looked like assembly. Like, you literally were debugging into some stuff.
That was, of course, the Go runtime,
yeah.
Right? That starts actually the Go thread, yeah.
And that's
yeah.
Pretty amazing. So let's get to some questions. Sure. Raj asks, if I use Windows, when should I use an editor like VS Code versus the full Visual Studio IDE?
Depends on your preference, right? We give you choice. We consider us not as competing. We consider us as family, right? So you can go with one or the other, and depending on your task. If you want to use a very flexible workflow and you like to use command line tools and you want to have flexible ways to combine them, then I guess Code has a benefit in that it really says we are primarily an editor, and we can have some task integration that allows you to integrate existing tools. If you like the shell integration, if you like wizards and so on, then Visual Studio is for you, right? Mm-hmm. So I just have heard some very experienced developers since 50 years, they live in Visual Studio and they like it, but they said, well, from time to time, I might use Code, just know when I want to open a single file and I don't want to have a solution file. So,
I see.
But even Visual Studio now, as we saw today, also allows you to open folders. So it's a good thing, right? So it's you get this choice as a developer.
I love it. All right, next question from Jim Small. Are you taking pull requests on VS Code now that it's open source?
We take pull requests, and actually I just got a check.
Just had our first?
We had a comment, a document typo fix.
They're
right?
All
That's
good.
The
first They're all
They're
good.
They're all good. And, but we already got one which actually fixes something in a piece of code which I wrote, which was embarrassing to me, right? So yeah. So the first pull request fixes a bug.
Somebody just fixed code that Eric Gama wrote. I mean, you got to take a picture of yourself next to the computer, maybe put a plaque up there. We'll send you his picture, obviously, and then buy his book. Christian's asking, now that VS Code supports plugins, or are we calling them extensions?
We use extensions because we don't know how to write plugins with a hyphen or not, so that's why I picked
it. Got it. Now that it supports extensions, will some of the existing functionality like Omni, Sharp, TypeScript now be stripped from the core editor and offered as plugins or extensions?
So these two languages are already clean extensions and implemented as separate extensions. So they helped us to validate the extension model. But they are part of our source tree right now, and we bundle them with the core.
Yeah, this is actually an important thing. Like, even though we hadn't publicized our extension model until now, we've been trying to get everything into that same extension model so that we ourselves can kind of build with that. The other thing that we've done is, along with open sourcing VS Code, we've actually taken all of the source code for those extensions and made them open source. So if somebody's going to come along and build another extension, they can look at the extension source to figure out, you know, how to build a language extension or how to build a debugger.
It's almost as if you read Dimitri's mind. He said, are all extensions open source?
The vast majority of extensions are open source. We want Visual Studio Code to be a great tool with a great ecosystem. And wherever it makes sense to open source things, people will. But if somebody wants to come along and build a commercial product, for example, that extends Visual Studio Code, and that is something that they're free to do as well. So we don't require all of our extensions to be open source, but we've open sourced pretty much all of our extensions so that people can contribute to them and learn from them.
So we see that the gallery with some extensions and all those, they are open source. And
got
of
it.
Course, they should serve also as samples that people they can mimic
sure.
from, like the Go one, right? It's a great example for how to implement a language.
So here's another question. How hard would it be to use the code from VS Code to create a web-based code editor with IntelliSense?
Well, this exists, right? This is called the Monaco Editor.
That's right.
And you see it in action on OneDrive. You see it in action when you administer websites. Where else do we have it? It's a component which you see frequently, right?
Office 365, I think we had it in
the
there.
New Azure portal.
There was a couple of connects ago, I believe, that you showed Monaco for the first time.
Yeah.
Literally, 2 years ago.
That was the predecessor to what was to become Visual Studio Code,
yeah, it's,
right?
It's actually it's an interesting history, and Eric can add more. Like when we started the Monaco team a few years ago, the first thing that the team was delivering was actually a web-based editor to put into all of the different web things that we had.
Right.
And they ended up in all the places that Eric's mentioning. But the team had a great kind of principle up front, which was basically use the tool to build the tool. And so they built a workbench around that editor that they could use to build the editor itself. And they were using Node WebKit, I think, at the time, because Electron wasn't around. But the nice thing is, because of that, the code base has been kind of used by Eric's engineering team every day for the last 4 years. So when the time came and we kind of decided we would make a cross-platform tool, we were able to very quickly start turning what we had into a real kind of shipping product.
Actually, since 4 years, we have every month, we have kind of an internal version that is good enough for our own consumption, for our own dog fooding.
That's awesome. All right, so another question. Will VS Code support connecting to Visual Studio Team Services or TFS?
So we today, one of the things that we've kind of added with Visual Studio Code is beyond just the editing experience, starting to have some of the other things that are core to the kind of developer inner loop. One of them is debugging, but
right.
another one is great source control integration. So there's a integrated Git support right in there with being able to see diffs, being able to basically look at the set of changes that you've made, et cetera. And our goal definitely is to figure out how to get that integrated with being able to get that code up to Visual Studio Team Services, being able to push that to Azure, make those kinds of workflows a lot easier as well.
Right.
So one short answer, or the short-term answer is, we support the command line, right? And TFS VC, they have command line interface. So you can, of course, always use the command line and use it and use for editing. You can use Visual Studio Code.
You can also in the task system, make some tasks that call out to the command line, right?
Yeah. And consume the output and present you errors from whatever and markers, how we call it, from the output of the tool.
Yeah, and Visual Studio, I think, Visual Studio Team Services, I think you saw some of that earlier, and TFS, I think we're starting to kind of build great support for different OSs, so being able to use that from a Mac or from a Linux machine, being able to use that with Eclipse or IntelliJ.
Right.
Those are all things that we're kind of doing to kind of expand the set of workflows that work great with Visual Studio Team Services, and VS Code will be one of those workflows.
So speaking of extensions, what can you do with extensions? And I know this is kind of a broad question. Maybe even a better one is, what are some things that sort of extensions will not be able to do in Visual Studio Code? Maybe give us a sort of
extension. That's a good one for you.
So we had some principles in mind, right? So extensions are a great thing, right? But you have to think about, if you have many extensions, how does your product look like, and how does your product perform? So what we're doing is saying we want to get some isolation from extensions so that they cannot impact our tool.
Right.
The user should always be able to save the file no matter how badly an extension behaves,
right?
So for this reason, we use the same multi-process approach again. We run extensions in a separate process.
I see.
And this separate process is a node process. So in the process, you have the node APIs available, which, of course, give you abstracts from all the OS functionality. And we give you some UI components that basically talk over to the main process to show UI there, like QuickBox and so on. Mm-hmm. What we don't do is we give you full access. It's HTML technology we're using. We don't give you full access to our DOM, which runs on the main side, right? Because you want to really control the API and also control kind of the stability and appearance of the code. So we'll not write right now, you cannot write an arbitrary UI thing, but you can use our small UI toolkit we give you from our API.
And what are some of the things that you're exposing in this?
So the API, of course, is really focused on great language support, right? So like the IntelliSense UI, that's a widget you get. You get hovering, rich hovering. You get find references, the peak thing, right? These are all these UI toolbox element we give you when you write an extension, right? But basically what they do is they just talk over to the main process to trigger the corresponding UI on the main side.
And so if you have an extension sort of getting to be unruly, it's not going to interfere with the main process ever.
Even, yeah, not that, and also on startup, right? Think about you have lots of extensions, and each one takes a small amount of initialization time, right? So you would mean you slow down the startup of the main thing. Since you do it in a separate process, the main thing can come faster up, and people really appreciate that, right?
That's one of the other thing that the other thing I think that model does is the UI that's presented by those extensions becomes really consistent because we're providing them, right?
If
a lot of times when you extend just a text editor, you're responsible for all of the autocomplete UI, the code navigation UI, and every plugin has to do its own.
Yeah.
We provide kind of a nice, clean experience for code navigation, debugging, and we just require the extension developer to just write the logic that's specific to that technology.
That's awesome. So it doesn't
and
feel
I hope
like
you have seen it on stage today, right? When I showed code,
yeah,
it should have really looked the same, and Andres showed TypeScript.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
It's almost boring, but it's nice consistent.
Because then if you don't do it this way, you end up with some Franken-looking thing that it just doesn't... Like, you don't want to code in something that doesn't feel right.
It's integrity, right? It's also UI integrity we can ensure in this way.
So all right, some more questions. Will VS Code support NuGet, Entity Framework, and MVC? I think it already supports MVC, ASP.NET 5, MVC 6.
Right.
And Entity Framework is a library. It's just a library that works on the core CLR as well. It should
as
work.
Long as they run on core CLR. The question is it cross-platform, right? We think about, since code is cross-platform, whatever we support, want to make it cross-platform as well, right?
I
so that's the question would be, do these run cross-platform? NuGet, of course, runs on the Mac now and on OS X or on Linux. So
all of the .NET libraries that are coming over cross-platform, VS Code will support them on all those platforms because it's just .NET IntelliSense and .NET debugging, right?
Got it.
In terms of NuGet, we've already got some integration with things like being able to, if you're getting packages, we automatically connect to the NuGet repository and kind of show you an autocomplete of the list of packages you want to install and things
like that. In the project JSON, right? In this description of your project, then we have we understand the format and we can fetch.
The first thing I actually wrote in Visual Studio Code is I wanted to get through that tight feedback loop of write some code, test, debug, go. I wrote something in ASP.NET 5, MVC 6, I think it was version 7, and it was pretty fun to just go through that process. Once you start playing with it, you get pretty fast at it.
I hope so.
So next question, could VS Code or part of it be run as a universal Windows platform app in Windows 10 and maybe other app stores, useful for quick coding, Continuum, and iPad Pro?
So there is actually Electron, right, is the shell underneath, and it's kind of gated by what does the shell, because it's the native component support, and there is a pull request to get actually on OS X to get in the App Store there. I don't know where we are with regard to
We've been starting to contribute a bunch into the Electron project itself, and part of that has been to get Electron to work really well on Windows. We actually just had a couple of people from our team, a couple of people from our DX team, and somebody from the Visual Studio team. We all went down to GitHub and actually spent a few days with them, kind of adding a bunch of functionality into Electron, including helping it be better on Windows. So I think we'll continue to, as part of our kind of involvement in Electron, continue to figure out kind of ways that we can make it work better with in the Windows experience.
Sure. Another question from Derek Rose, apparently, who is a developer, plays for the Chicago Bulls. Will VS Code replace the Visual Studio Community IDE?
mistake?
No, it's. I mean, as I think the question came up earlier about the kind of the different sets of tool workflows. We think of Visual Studio and Visual Studio Code as two very complementary things. I think there is, with any set of tools, obviously there are going to be a set of features that kind of overlap. But they're very designed very much for very different kinds of workflows. They have very different sets of functionality that they have today out of the box. To kind of answer that earlier question, like we find lots of engineers that actually use multiple tools.
Right.
They'll switch between a IDE and an editor and maybe something in between, maybe a standalone debugger. And what we're finding is for a set of tasks, they're using VS Code in place of things like editors. But there are also people who love IDEs.
Yeah. So let's just to wrap up, just a last question. Where can people go to find out more, to start downloading, to start playing, to start writing extensions?
So code.visualstudio.com kind of is the launching point for code itself. And the GitHub repository for code is Microsoft/VS Code, right? Very easy. And that's where you can visit our code and file issues.
Awesome. Well, thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
I think you are our last guest. So we're going to wrap it up here. We have been here at Connect 2015. It's been a really fun event. Just a couple of reminders. There are 80 plus on-demand sessions available on Channel 9. Please make sure you go and look at those. We will be continuing day 2 tomorrow in Redmond. I'll be opening there, and we're going to have a couple of sessions where you can ask live questions. Please ask your questions. We want to answer them all. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. We're in New York for Visual Studio Connect 2015. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time. Take care.